An escaped inmate charged with murdering a Wake County deputy is captured in Mexico. New at 7, insight into the extradition process from a former Border Patrol agent. How long he says it could take. Protest seconds after a new abortion bill is passed and headed to the governor's desk. How soon it could become law and the changes women would feel.
Changes are coming to all this that will impact your outdoor plans. But our weekend won't be a wash. I'll help you plan around the rain hour by hour.
We are taking a live look at the North Carolina legislative building. And right now, new abortion restrictions at 12 weeks are heading to the governor's desk. The bill cleared the Senate in the last 2 hours. Thank you for joining us. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm Gerald Owens. A veto fight is coming. House Republicans fast-tracked this measure in the last 2 days. Protesters erupted in the Senate chambers just moments after the Senate did the same thing.
Senate will stand at ease. Sergeant at Arms will clear the gallery.
That group was then escorted out of the building.
WREL state government reporter Travis Fain joins us now live from the legislative building with what's next. And Travis, this vote certainly is a big step in the process. What does happen from here?
All right, so the bill has to be delivered to the governor. That'll happen tonight, tomorrow. I'm not entirely sure. But then the state constitution says he's got 10 days. He can decide to sign it, which he will not do. He will veto it. He'll send it back here to these chambers, the House and the Senate. The Senate will override that veto fairly easily based on the number of Republicans in that chamber. House will probably override it. The Speaker of the House says he has the votes to do it. It's a little tighter margin there, so it's not for sure, but we expect this to become law.
So, Travis, if what we expect to happen does, do we know when this will take effect and what it'll look like?
All right, so you got that 10-day time clock that has to churn off, and then the House and the Senate, they'll take time to override the vetoes, and if they need time to kind of whip votes and get people in shape, get them in line, that could take a little time, so we don't really know when that'll happen. But what the bill says, it's got a number of effective dates. Parts of it go into effect in June, July, parts of it in early October, so it's going to be kind of a staggered change. This is a complicated bill. It's 46 pages. And like you said, it rolled out 48 hours ago.
Well, it was high emotion in the state Senate today, as we just saw, Travis. What has it been like for you to be there in the halls of the state legislature over the past couple of days?
It's been a little more tense than normal. This is what's called crossover week, which it's a kind of a deadline in legislative politics. So it's really, really busy, an awful lot going on. So people are already a little stressed. And then just the tension of this issue. You know, on the Senate floor today, there was a lot of raw emotion as senators, particularly women in the Senate, got up and talked about their own pregnancies, friends that they've had, family members they've had who've either had an abortion or had to make that decision. Really raw, a lot of people holding back tears at times and having to take a moment to compose themselves. This is just such a personal issue. And then when it gets reduced to 46 pages of policy, that becomes quite emotional.
You have been following it all for us. WREL state government reporter Travis Fain, thank you. You can find both sides of the debate along with details on exactly what is in the bill on WREL.com. Coming up in just a few minutes, hear from a local legal expert about the criminal aspect of this new bill and the exceptions.
Another big story today. This man accused of killing Wake County Deputy Ned Byrd is back in federal custody. Investigators arrested Alder Marine Sotelo in southern Mexico today. 2,400 miles away and 5 days after he escaped Piedmont Regional Jail in Virginia. A former U.S. Border Patrol agent tells WREL getting him back to the U.S. will take a lot of coordination between the U.S. and Mexico. Investigators also say Sotelo used a getaway car arranged by his sister, who was also in custody.
Not a timeline that you can put on it. It's just, you know, basically getting the things laid out and both countries saying, hey, you know what, we're satisfied with what's going to happen with him once he's here, and then Mexico would turn him over.
The FBI is still looking for that 2003 Ford Mustang.
Well, when you look at a satellite radar image like this, you know, uh-oh, here it comes. New models are now giving us a clearer picture of just how much rain you may have to dodge this weekend. We're tracking showers for the ninth straight weekend in a row. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WRL Severe Weather Center. Kat, at least it doesn't look like we're going to have storms.
Right. It doesn't look like it's going to be a washout for us or an intense rain. It's mainly light rain that we are tracking for your weekend. So let's take a look at your updated weekend forecast here. 74 tomorrow, partly cloudy. It's a beautiful day. Both Saturday and Sunday feature a chance for rain. Temperatures, though, trending warmer. Highs likely to climb into the 70s. Saturday's rain chances 30%. Sundays have gone up a little bit, 40% on Sunday, but at least Saturday's rain trending down in terms of our rain chances. So let's take a look at our hour-by-hour rain chances for Saturday. 20% in the morning, which is great news for the Komen Race for the Cure, just a 20% chance for rain through about noon, and then that's when rain chances go up to 30%. After that, rain chances will likely go down a little bit as we head into Saturday night. So let's take a look at the system that brings the chance for rain. It's still to our west right now, but what we're seeing on the model trends today, steering the rain a little farther to the south, and that would put us on the edge and just some light rain. And I'll walk you through the new high-resolution futurecast models coming up in just a few minutes. Deborah.
All right, we'll see you then. Thanks, Kat.
When you have an emergency, you call 911 and you expect someone at the communication center to answer the phone. Right now, nearly a third of all positions at the Raleigh-Wake Emergency Communication Center are empty. That's 39 job openings, more than twice the number of jobs that were open since before the pandemic. WRL's Matt Tallhelm explains what the city is doing to fill those jobs and other positions to keep people safe.
911, what's the location of your emergency?
Those are the first words you want to hear in life's worst moments.
We want to treat every call like that could be our family member.
Hello, this is Raleigh-Wake Dispatch.
Dominic Nutter is director of the Raleigh-Wake Emergency Communications Center, where a staffing shortage is adding to the strain of an already stressful job.
Of course, when we have increased vacancies, there is additional stress.
Right now, the 911 center has 32 open call taker positions, and it's not alone. Vacancy rates are up across the board for police, fire, and emergency communications compared to before the pandemic. Just under 5% of public safety jobs went unfilled at the start of 2020. That vacancy rate more than doubled to just shy of 11.6% at the start of this year. And right now, 608 jobs are open all across city departments.
It's a scary number, especially when you look at a lot of those are in public safety.
A new public safety collaborative is bringing people together from different departments to address those workforce challenges. They identified leapfrogging as an issue. That's where new hires jump ahead of current employees in the pay scale. The city's responding to that with a proposed pay adjustment for 271 public safety workers in the upcoming budget.
So having a new class of recruits is fantastic for the future, but we want to make sure that we're good right now, too. So we want to take care of the people who have spent their time with us as well.
The 911 center is making some headway in hiring. A record number, 382 people, applied for just 12 spots in the next call taker training academy.
It's someone who wants to make a difference in the community. That is the type of person who needs to step forward.
Raleigh City Manager has made it a top goal for this year to improve recruiting for public safety positions. We'll get a better idea of how the city plans to do that when the city manager presents her budget here to City Council in just a couple of weeks. Matt Tallhelm, WRAL News, Raleigh.
Some progress tonight for a teenager stabbed multiple times at a school in Moore County. Her family says Avery Slatcher is a junior at Pinecrest High School. An update posted on her GoFundMe page says she has another surgery this week and at least one chest tube has been removed. Family says she is in good spirits. More than $73,000 has been raised with a goal of $75,000. As far as the investigation goes, another student is in custody in connection with the stabbing last week.
Still ahead, some unwelcome visitors slithering their way into a Fayetteville woman's apartment. Why she says her apartment has a serious snake problem. And two Chatham County students won a national award for creating an app. We'll hear what inspired them to create it. Back
right now at 7-Eleven. I'm Mark Boyle in the WREL Live Center down in Sampson County. A search for a suspect involved in a breaking and entering call, according to deputies. This is where it's happening, right off of Goose Creek Circle. If you live in that area, we do have some video from the scene. Investigators say when deputies first arrived to that breaking and entering call, one of the deputies saw what he thought was the suspect leaving, started chasing the suspect. The deputy lost his footing and tripped, and a nearby resident thought that that deputy was in distress, they say, and actually fired some warning shots to scare the suspect. The suspect got away and is in that wooded area right now, according to investigators. So they are setting up a perimeter. That's where it is, Holly Road near Fred Road as well. So investigators are getting this information out. If you live in that area, you are asked to lock your doors until they can track down the suspect. Back to you.
All right, Mark, thank you. Now, we told you a few minutes ago the state Senate approved new abortion restrictions at 12 weeks. Maxine Eichner, a Graham Keenan Distinguished Professor of Law at UNC Chapel Hill, joined us now live to take a closer look at the legal implications here. Maxine, you just told me you've read all 46 pages of this bill, so let's talk about the legal aspects and perhaps go a different direction than some of our other coverage has been today. Can, for example, the woman who is pregnant get in trouble if they have an abortion after 12 weeks?
This bill doesn't provide penalties for the woman. With that said, there are plenty of instances in other states where other criminal statutes have been used to charge a woman. So that could certainly happen, but not under this bill.
You know, a lot of discussion yesterday in the House that I was listening to, especially from the Democrats, they were asking a lot about the sponsor of the bill. Will this bill be a chilling effect on doctors? You know, even if a case is very close, perhaps they will worry about losing their license if they go through with an abortion for a woman.
I've spoken to a number of doctors about the language of this bill, and I think that that's a serious concern. What we have seen in other states is that medical emergency exceptions like ours, which are somewhat vaguely worded, make it risky for doctors to deliver abortions even when a patient is at risk. And because of that, women's health has suffered and women's lives have been lost in other states.
So, you know, coming back to our state here, and you talk a lot about what's going to be happening with doctors here, is having some vagueness in the law actually positive for doctors because they can make their own arguments about why they did what they did?
What a good question. I think the answer to that is no. What happens is that doctors are guided by lawyers like myself who assess risk. And who are anxious about that risk. And what that means is where there is uncertainty about whether an abortion can be delivered, that abortion tends not to be delivered.
So much more that we still have to talk about this. We appreciate your legal expertise. Maxine Eichner, thanks so much for your time tonight.
Thank you.
And staying on the same topic here in the Live Center, we continue to get reaction from both sides, conservative and Democrat. Right now, a conservative response to this bill moving forward in the Senate. We can show you that on your screen right here. We've heard from different faith groups as well. Can we pull that up in the control room? There it is. So this is from NC Faith and Freedom. At NC Faith and Freedom, we see this bill as only the first step in a long process to ultimately make abortion unthinkable in our state. We will continue to encourage our lawmakers to override the veto. You can see it is an extremely impassioned conversation. It has become very political with both sides very fired up, and that will continue as this goes forward now on the governor's desk. Back to you.
Yeah, the latest of many reactions. Mark, thank you. Bunk beds are being recalled because the slats that support the beds can break. Five on Your Side's Keely Arthur tells us the recall involves twin bunk beds made by Walker Edison Furniture. They were sold online through Walmart, Home Depot, Amazon, and other major retailers. There have been 14 cases where the slats broke. One person was hurt. If you have these beds, stop using them and contact Walker Edison for a free repair kit. For more information about this recall and others that are important to your family, go to WREL.com/recalls. It's that time of year when snakes are on the move, but a Fayetteville woman says they are moving into her apartment. Earlier this week, Artis McMillan found three snakes in her Cross Creek Point apartment. She believes the snakes are coming from nearby Cross Creek. The family has torn the place apart looking for these snakes. They didn't find them. McMillan did take some pictures, but says that, rather did not take pictures, but says she'll never forget what they look like.
The snake was about this long. It was about that long, about that round, and they had black, like, had a little black stripe on this side. I mean, yellow. Had a yellow stripe like this and a little stripe like that on the neck.
How is she going to sleep in that apartment? Anyway, apartment management put sulfur down today to keep the snakes away. If you find a snake in your home and just that animal won't leave on its own, contain it in a room and call an expert to remove it. Two Chatham County students are congressional champions because of the app they created. WRL's Destiny Patterson sat down with the students who say it originally started as a fun thing to do after school and turned into award-winning technology.
Behind every video game are the masterminds who put it together, like these sophomores at the Chatham School of Science and Engineering.
Initially, we started with just like a white square moving around the screen.
As they learn more about coding, the white square quickly turned into a full-blown video game called Platformers.
And our friends would play those levels, and they were beating them faster than we could make the levels.
In the app, Brandon Cameron and Jack Triglianos gave the players the power to create their own levels.
Every day, people would log in, see new maps that people had uploaded the previous day, and try and set a new fastest time or record on them.
A couple of teachers saw it and said we should upload it to the Congressional App Challenge.
It's a national initiative where Congress members host contests in their districts for middle and high school students. The goal is to inspire more students to pursue careers in computer science.
We are very proud that it's a game that can self-sustain.
In fact, you can log in, play the game, and create levels yourself. As more players create levels, it will continue to be updated. Destiny Patterson, WREL News.
Now, those students beat a crowded field. This year's competition set the record for the most student registrations and the most apps submitted.
I am so impressed.
I know.
Meteorologist Kat Campbell back with us now, and a lot of people looking forward to the weekend. I almost feel like it's Friday that we keep talking about the weekend so much, Kat.
Well, it's Friday Eve out there, and I've got good news for your weekend. It is trending drier. We still have rain chances, but overall, I think there's going to be plenty of dry hours mixed in. The forecast for the Race for the Cure only showing a 20% chance for rain. Certainly good news. Meteorologist Mike Mays is going to be emceeing the event, so be sure to swing by and say hello. By the time we get to the afternoon, that's when rain chances are at 30%. And I do think that this run of future cast shows more rain than we'll actually see. It's kind of a worst case scenario. Tends to be a little too wet in the 2 days out time frame. But overall, we start out dry on future cast Saturday morning. It is high resolution data we have available now, starting to show some of these isolated showers by the early afternoon hours and a little better chance as we head into the late afternoon and evening for some of these showers to move through the area. Overall, though, it's not a big wave of rain that's going to move through and last all day. And one of the reasons it's trending drier for the weekend is this area of rain is getting pushed a little farther to the south. So we'll keep an eye on that potential. We do have another chance for rain, though, on Sunday. Again, it's scattered showers. High pressure is in control of our local weather right now. It's led to these beautiful evenings. And I've got to show you this picture, the Midway Fair happening in Tarboro. And William Manley, he's a local photographer. He sent a lot of really cool pictures in the past. This picture that he took out there, absolutely stunning for the carnival or the event in Tarboro. Just a beautiful evening. Tomorrow should be a nice day as well. Temperatures are going to be in the low to mid 70s tomorrow. And once we get to the weekend, we're likely to stay in the 70s. It's trending a little bit warmer. Next week, high temperatures likely to be in the 80s. It's going to be feeling more like summer. That comes with a little more humid air and the chance for some scattered summertime thunderstorms returning, but some drier air toward the end of the week. High temperatures in the 80s and 70s. I think tonight, though, is going to be our last night with this cool, crisp, low to mid 40 degree temperatures.
All right, we're ready for the warm-up. Ready or not, here it comes. Right. Thanks, Kat.
Coming up, it's almost the weekend, and we're helping you plan. We'll run through some fun things that you may want to do with your family coming up in this week's Out and About. The Carolina Hurricanes opened with a flurry of goals in round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and now they're preparing for game two.
Yeah, the Canes beat the New Jersey Devils 5-1 at PNC Arena last night. Head coach Rod Brindamore said today it was clear the rest and refocus helped the team. That also means the Devils' start will likely be much better in game two.
After the first period, the game was very even. They might have had better opportunities than we did. We didn't really generate a ton after the first period, but so that's what's going on. I know they're just saying, forget about it, move on, and get to your game, and we've got to make sure we do the same.
So game two is tomorrow at PNC. The puck drop is at 8 p.m. Game three is Sunday at 3:30 p.m. That one is in New Jersey. Game four is on Tuesday, May 9th at 7 p.m., also in New Jersey. The first weekend of May is filled with festivals all across our area.
WRU Lifestyle editor Kathy Hanrahan has Out and About's best bets for the weekend.
It's all about ham and yam this weekend. The annual festival celebrates agriculture in Johnston County. There will be live music, country ham biscuits, and tons of sweet potatoes. The festival is Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Front Street. Admission is free. In Apex, the 42nd annual Peak Fest celebration is happening on Saturday. The Arts and Crafts Festival attracts more than 22,000 people each year. There'll be hundreds of vendors, live music, artists, entertainment, and food. It all happens from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Salem Street. And in Wake Forest, the annual Meet in the Street Festival is also happening Saturday. 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., there'll be more than 100 vendors, local food trucks, live music, and a children's village. These are just a few ways to get out and about this weekend. Kathy Hanrahan, WRAL News.
And WRAL is a proud community partner of the Ham and Yam Festival. I'll be there on Saturday. Uh-huh. I hope everybody can make it out. Just go to WRAL.com and search Out and About to find where to meet some of your favorite WRAL personalities at the events this weekend.
That sweet potato pie looks so good.
I know.
Well, excitement continues to build in London for the coronation of King Charles III. Saturday morning, WRAL will carry NBC's coronation coverage from 5 to 10.
Our local news will air from 6 to 8 on Fox 50 and then after the special coverage on WRAL. Thank you for making WRAL your choice for local news.
See you again at 10 on Fox 50 and at 11 on WRAL. Good night, everybody.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.